time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. So Politico reports President Donald Trump's attempt to circumvent Congress to fund his border wall has set off an intense scramble by Democratic leaders to rebuke the move, with efforts to halt his emergency declaration set to come in Congress and the courts. And of course, the president predicted this. If you've seen his speech, he predicted this was going to happen. He laid it right out there for everybody to hear. And that's one thing about this president. He doesn't leave much to the imagination, people. He puts it out there. Now, this drives the political operatives to the loony farm. They don't know what to do with that. That's a different kind of thing. That probably may be the central problem to this whole thing, actually. Well, Politico report continues, the Democratic-controlled House plans to pursue that two-track approach immediately. Plans for legislative action are already underway. By early Friday afternoon, more than 50 House Democrats have asked to put their names on a measure to formally condemn the move, according to an aide familiar with the planning. So that's where we'll start. Let's get right to it. Big program today, friends, as we wind up here. And I'd like to welcome on here Del Wilbur. He's a former CIA and Department of Defense Intelligence and Counterterrorism officer with a focus on technical and human intelligence collection activities. Del is a weekly columnist at America Out Loud and always has some interesting things to say. And talking about interesting, welcome Jim McKay. He's a political analyst, commentator, and radio producer here at America Out Loud, friends. Jim has a 30-year background in global technology, telecommunications, and pharmaceuticals. All right, so we see what happened, what played out there with the president. And if you watch that speech there in the Rose Garden there, and you've seen all that take place, he had the angel moms and angel families there, and as he laid out his whole program. What was at stake here is and was this appropriations bill, the budget, and then this emergency order, which he declared he was going to put into place immediately. It was signed already. Del, let's start here with this here. Now, I think there's a couple of things that I'm seeing. His base is upset. They really didn't want him to sign this budget. Of course, the budget was full of all kinds of surprises at the end. Pelosi stuck it with all kinds of pork and all kinds of funny things, which is pretty typical of Washington, you know. What is your take on the president signing the budget and issuing the emergency order?
I think it was a smart move on his part. He didn't really have much choice but to sign that, even with all of its problems that are included in it. But because it would have resulted in, had he not signed it, would have resulted in another government shutdown. And though personally I wouldn't have cared much about that, I think politically it would have caused a lot of damage in that. So I think his move was a smart move. Go ahead and sign it, get it out of the way, and then do his national emergency as a follow up. And so I fully support it.
Jim, if he had not signed the budget, as a good part of his base did not want him to, and as Del just says, there would have been another government shutdown and all of that. But, I mean, did he have a choice? Could he not have signed that, Jim? Or do you think that there was only one path?
I think he was backed into a corner, as Del was saying. He didn't have much of a choice here. The media is all over the shutdown from the last time, and 31 days, that was extreme. They didn't move any closer to a resolution on any of the issues here. And they just playing games. They're just Pelosi and Schumer just backing them into a corner. And he took the best way out by signing the bill and also using within his presidential powers the ability to reallocate monies to build this wall.
Mm-hmm. When the president mentioned Sean Hannity, actually mentioned Laura Ingraham, a lot of the Fox team, actually. He mentioned Rush Limbaugh as being the best and the biggest ever. And he mentioned, again, Ann Coulter, brought her name and said, I really don't know the gal, but, you know, let me mention her anyways. Is that a smart move to elevate all these people? First of all, there's already divisions and lines in media. And, of course, Cult is getting a hell of a national punch for this. I mean, if you didn't know who that chick was before, you certainly know now. Jim, is that a smart move, Jim?
I think so, because he has very little exposure. When you figure the media is going 90-10 against him in stories, mm-hmm. he needs every person he can get on his side out there rallying the troops.
Well, I wish the hell he'd mention my name then, brother. We're on his side. We want him to win. I mean, come on. Don't you make a call into the White House, perhaps? all right, Dale, what do you say to that? Was that a smart move or is that silly?
I don't have a problem with it. I don't know how much. I mean, it's going to result in ridicule from the quote unquote mainstream media. There's no doubt about that. But you know, I don't have a problem with it. He's sending a message to, you know, to his base that, hey, you know, these are the people that you listen to, and I'm listening to them also. And you know, I think that that's a good strategic move, a political move on his part.
Yeah. What happens now? This thing he predicted is going to be stuck into the courts. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. What's your final prediction, Dell? What happens at the end of the day? I mean, first of all, in order for him to really use that money, it's going to be tied up for a while now. I don't know what period of time. None of us know, you know, to get through the courts and all. But how does it end?
It's only a portion of that money that he is looking to allocate towards border security or towards a border barrier. Is subject to a court review. A lot of it he can move around. There's, I think, the spending on government or on military construction of that is the one that's in question. So I think it's going to be full speed ahead on moving the other money around and utilizing it, and the couple billion that's in question is just going to have to run its course. But I think ultimately, it's going to be ruled in his favor because he has the power of the presidency to declare a national emergency. And I think any reasonable person with these caravans coming to our border and everything, you know, sees that there is a national emergency on our southwest border. I certainly know from my 2 years working in El Paso, you know, several years ago, we had an emergency situation back then.
Right,
it's only gotten worse.
Well, Dale, what's wrong with what you just said is I was with you until you said any reasonable person, you know. I mean, you lost me there, buddy. You lost me there. Sorry.
Yeah,
but that would explain a lot right now. The whole thing here, Jim, with the whole wall thing and what have you, it's beyond political. It's insane, actually, what's taken place here. Adele is right. He can start spending some of those dollars right away. That's correct. But here's the thing about the emergency order. When you see some of the news sound bites right now, Jim, their heads are falling off. We have a constitutional crisis. I love those words. We have a constitutional crisis. Oh, that's all you ever hear. And the president is you know, burning the Constitution up. He's overstepping his bounds. But Jim, every president has signed these emergency declarations. I mean, Pelosi comes out and threatens about gun control at that point. I mean, these people are whacked out.
It's crazy. I mean, right now there is something like 31 leftover emergency actions that nobody knows what the hell they're for anymore. They just keep renewing them every year. The president has to renew these actions every year. But when you talk about responsibility, Congress has been sitting on their hands for years. They haven't done a budget in who knows when.
All right, listen, I want to change the momentum here and talk about this Amazon deal. You know, I have to tell you both, back in the day, I remember when cities and states were like thriving and dying to get these corporations into their domain. I mean, they just wanted to have these people come in. But here we are. New York, you know, has pushed away Amazon in a very strange deal. And of course, Governor Andrew Cuomo, he comes out and says he blamed the fellow Democrats. That's most unusual. They don't always eat their own over there, but he blamed the fellow Democrats in the state Senate for killing the deal to bring this Amazon headquarters to Queens, New York there. He goes on to say, you know, hey, a small group of politicians put their own narrow political interest above their community, which poll after poll showed overwhelmingly supported bringing Amazon to Long Island City. The state's economic future and the best interests of the people of this state. So he was ripping mad. I mean, this is a big deal. Dale, what is your take on this? Because, you know, there's a lot of fingers being pointed. And then to top all that, this AOC character, she comes out and she was wasting no time at all to say, you know, oh, it's a victory. It's a victory. What are these people on?
Well, I mean, you know, the one thing she's good for is comic relief. But as far as the damage or the potential damage that's been done, I don't know that they're going to be able to recover from it. I mean, they just lost, 25,000 potential jobs and probably very decent paying jobs in that. And from the sounds of it, Jeff Bezos' character is basically written it off and said, we'll take it somewhere else or we'll stay where we are. And so it's definitely impacted. I don't know whether the voters in New York in New York City or Long Island City, whatever it is, will have a long memory because, you know, it's sometimes those things tend to fade away over a period of time. But there certainly has been an economic impact, if not a political one.
Yeah. Jim, this is this is stranger than strange, this Amazon thing. You're a numbers guy. You're a numbers guy. You look at this. I mean, what did you make of this thing with New York? I mean,
it's insanity is what it is, because I mean, they were putting up less than $3 billion in tax relief over 10 years, mm-hmm. which is nothing. Mm-hmm. To get about $27 billion in revenue over the same period. I mean, that's a 10. I'll take 10 for one anytime you're offering it. I mean, that's a good deal. And these jobs, these were executive type jobs. These were computer programmers. They weren't the warehouse, you know, $15 an hour jobs. These are $135,000 a year jobs on the average. Mm-hmm. And you just don't have companies come around every day of the week creating that type of labor force. 25,000 jobs and, you know, at millions and millions of dollars of revenue for the
cities would kill for this, Jim. I mean,
absolutely. They're lining up for it.
To me, the whole Amazon thing was this: it really is a very real world reflection of how screwed up we are when we have this conversation, people, about socialism. Listen, this other big explosive story really got under my skin, and that is the Minnesota representative there of the 5th Congressional District, Representative Omar, and she has come out and said some pretty strong thing. I mean, listen, I've seen her a couple of sound bites with this woman. She was in a congressional hearing, and she knocked one of the appointees down of Trump, and in a big way, and just was talking over him, wouldn't let him answer the question, told him to really zip it up, and the guy was so insulted. It was quite a spectacle. I mean, these congressional hearings now are becoming warfare. I mean, who the hell would want to be an appointee, or be anything for that matter, when they're going to rip you apart, I mean, by limb by limb. Dale, you talk about comic relief earlier. These are definitely comic relief of some sort, but it's a bit insane. But this Omar, I mean, she's one of the two Muslims that were representative that were elected to Congress. This was big. She broke a lot of records. Yeah. I mean, she was the first Somali American ever elected to Congress, first woman of color. I mean, a lot of firsts here. I mean, I could go on and on, but what is your take of her remarks and all?
Well, apparently she's also the first person to marry her brother to legalize him in the U.S., too.
Wow.
At least that's what we're hearing. So
she married the brother. Did she have sex with him, you think? Or?
Well, I think immigration.
You don't have to answer that, sir.
Immigration fraud is probably more applies, but she's crazy. I have no clue what planet she comes from, but she definitely has some major issues, and hopefully it will result in her eventual removal from, if not Congress itself, then at least from the Foreign Affairs Committee, because she certainly doesn't belong there with her strong anti-Israel feelings.
Well, and she made that clear, Jim. It was a real eye-opener. A real quick response I want to get with you on that and move on here. But how egregious is this and what the lady said? What do you think?
You know, it's either can be considered anti-Semitic or political. It's not like the N-word is to blacks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Having grown up in a Jewish family, it's marginal. You have to take her background in and what's going on with the Somalis in Minnesota. These people are definitely disruptive. They are Sunni Muslims, almost 100% of them. And there has been a tremendous amount of community violence and everything from them. Yeah. So she was elected only for the fact that the district that she in is has a tremendously heavy.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, Middle America is not going to, I'm sorry, but, you know, I mean, we're a nation of many thoughts, ideas, and what have you, but we're not going to elect someone like that to Congress. I mean, it would never happen in most districts, quite frankly. And if that sounds abrupt to you people or racist, then whatever. But I didn't say I was ever politically correct. Listen, Jim, the numbers, another thing that is outrageous this week, well, it was good, and then kind of when you look beyond the headlines a little sick, is the new Attorney General, William Barr. Again, this is not a newcomer to Washington by any stretch. He was previously the Attorney General, and he was sworn in by Chief Justice Roberts, so he was confirmed by the Senate. But here's the kicker to this thing, Jim. And this just tells you people, whatever your stripe is. So the first time he went through the Senate, he was confirmed, right, for the same position, people, 96-0. I mean, think about that score, 96-0. The guy was confirmed. I mean, that's like a grand slam. You know what I'm saying? Well, this time, guess what the numbers were? Just take a guess, people. Yeah, yeah. How about 54-45? So you see the numbers in the transit. Now, what happened? I mean, did this guy go through some sort of a interplanetary transformation of some sort? Is he a different character? Maybe he's now transgender. I don't know what the problem is, Jim. But all of a sudden, he's a whole different guy. I mean, what happened?
It's all a lineup against Trump. Everything that's happening in Congress with the Democratic Party is all this continuous bombardment, anti-Trump, resist, goes on and on. They just will do anything and everything to make him look bad, to defeat any of his policies, no matter. I mean, like they always said, if he cured cancer tomorrow, they'd blame him for it.
Yeah, they would. That's a very, very, very appropriate thing. Listen, last couple of minutes here, I just want to touch with you on this Andrew McCabe book coming out and his CBS 60 Minutes deal. One of the statements here, the highest level of American law enforcement, we're trying to figure out what to do with the president. This is Scott Pelley, reports this on 60 Minutes here. This was about the 25th Amendment. This was to invoke the 25th Amendment. There was a lot of talk about Rod Rosenstein. That's come back again. Was, you know, how deep is his hands in here? Dale, give us your take on this. You know, again, these cats are selling books. They're on the 60 Minutes thing. Hoopla, hurrah. But it looks to be this is pretty substantial now with trying to remove the president. I mean, this is a coup. This was a coup. What do you see?
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that this was a large-scale conspiracy to commit a coup d'etat against President Trump. You have to understand, these people had not just the McCabes and people in government, but the people in Hollywood and the Democratic Party. They had 25 to 30 years of their lives invested in electing Hillary Clinton president. And President Trump came in and literally pulled the rug out from under these people, and they're beside themselves. They simply cannot accept it. I mean, their life's work was destroyed in one fell swoop by President Trump, and they're going to continue to do anything they can. These people, like McCabe and the others that are involved, they have a hero complex. They thought that they were doing the Lord's work, I guess. No.
It was the devil's work, Dell.
Well, absolutely.
Work.
They did nothing short of what we used to condemn in banana republics. They tried to overthrow this president, and I think they should be tried, convicted, and punished accordingly.
Yeah, wow. All right, Jim, last word. We have just a moment or so left, but this is a big topic. We're going to be spending more time on this in the weeks ahead, I assure you of that. But what's your bottom line take on it?
Well, I think what's happened in the last few days since this all came out is McCabe has been flip-flopping all over the place. One minute he's in the meetings, next minute he's not in the meetings. Who's in the meetings? Who's out of the meetings? The guy is a liar. I can't wait till Barr gets a hold of him. And, you know, he's under criminal indictment now. And they got to get the rest of these guys that are involved in this. They need to I'm not necessarily fond of special counsels because it's such an open-ended kind of mess.
You think we need one on this?
He needs to get a prosecutor in one of the districts to press charges against all of these clowns.
That's amazing. Yeah. I wonder what would become of that when you talk about a smoking gun or a bomb firing cases and what really happens. Again, this is still a really evolving story, friends, and we'll obviously be on this one. It's not going away. None of this Mueller stuff is going away, but more so in the whole Russia collusion thing is a mess. And then, but what we're talking about here with the 25th Amendment and the president, you kind of get the feeling, or you know, that the Republic is in a very precarious place, people. Very precarious place. And that's kind of what we're covering here, a lot of this. So what we're going to do here next is we're going to take this conversation a little bit further here. And we have a power panel discussion coming up here next to talk about, well, in an interesting way, and I want you to hear all this, a new civil war, potentially. What's up with all of that? Let's talk about it. And who and how, what's dividing the country? What's behind all these elements of division that we're experiencing here? A couple of quick notes to mention to you here. A big thank you, first of all, to Del Wilbur and Jim McKay. I appreciate both of them. And again, friends, all of our experts back at America Out Loud, I mean, I tell you, it's an amazing group of people. These are patriots. These are people that are on the front lines and people who passionately care about the nation. You'll find some of the most interesting talk radio, some of the most interesting podcast on demand, and certainly some of the most fascinating blogs and columns that you'll find anywhere. We never sleep there. It's 24/7, AmericaOutLoud.com. Friends, there's a lot more Viewpoints in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends, here. And, well, as you see from the top of the program, this is not just another time in politics, clearly. The lines of politics and entertainment have clearly blurred. I mean, think about this. I mean, politics has become entertaining. To some people, that's kind of interesting. To others, it can be a bit nerve-wracking, quite frankly. So I want you to think about it in these terms. This is more than a battle over a wall on our southern border, clearly. This is a restructuring of the power base and the way we elect and conduct business in our government. So as I've been thinking about it, growing up as a boy again, you know, hey, listen, you know, you remember we had the Soviet Union, we had the Cold War. What's different from then and now? Well, technology's changed, communications has changed, our leaders have changed, clearly. But just start to think about this good versus evil. I mean, you know, evil's always been here, people, you know? Here we are, we're all on the planet together. We're on this beautiful planet here. And I started thinking how stupid man is. I mean, you know, God gives us our very own planet of miracles. Think, it's really what I've been thinking of. You know, we have our own planet here of miracles in this universe of universes, right? And we torture each other with threats to blow each other up and do harm to each other. And the whole thing is sinister, and then you really take it to the point of good versus evil. And now you bring it back to politics in Washington, friends, and you think about it. And we're eating our own. We're fighting with you. We're eating our own is what we're doing. If there's not enough imbeciles to deal with on the planet, we have plenty here in this nation. That's what worries me. I want to talk to you right now about, is it time for a new civil war? Is that where we're at in America? Well, let's get to it here, friends, and let me welcome on our panel here. I call it a power panel, if you will. Karen Schoen is here. She's an advisory board of Florida Citizens Alliance. She's a former candidate for Florida State House. She's a retired teacher, an educator, if you will. Dean and small business owner, speaker, activist, weekly columnist at America Out Loud. She's always out loud and got something to say about all of this. Dr. Ron Martinelli is here. He's a retired police detective. His background is in investigations, forensics, psychological profiling. But more than that, he's a thinker. He's a thinker. He's a patriot, but he's a thinker. And he sees what's going on with the nation. He's got a great book out there about the war on cops you need to check out. And a show, A Thread of Evidence, right here on America Out Loud. Got some great articles, columns up on America Out Loud as well, friends. And Ava Armstrong. Ava's a political commentator, radio personality, and a fantastic author. You'll find all of her books on Amazon and certainly in the America Out Loud bookstore, as you will Dr. Ron's as well, by the way. Just go to the bookstore at AmericaOutLoud.com and you'll get all kinds of interesting books from really terrific people. So again, let's get to it here and talk about this potential civil war we got going on here. You know, as the events have played out from the State of the Union speech just recently and the Democratic response, and then you see the appropriations bill and you see what's going on about the southern border here, you know, again, they don't want to call it a wall. They want to call it a barrier, or they want to call it like something else, whatever the hell they want to call it. How about we just call it a bunch of toothpicks we put on the southern border? Maybe that'll help them out. I don't know. But you know, what is the real reason behind this border? Karen, let's start with you on this. So listen, in all your infinite wisdom, what's the real reason that they don't want to protect that border? What's the real reason?
Well, I think Obama said it perfectly when he said we will fundamentally transform America, and that is the goal. And in order to do that, you hit upon something because you were talking about things that happened as a result of the Cold War. Mm-hmm. When the Cold War was over, there was no enemy to fight. Oh, my goodness. In order to coalesce and get Americans to do something, there has to be a crisis. There has to be an enemy. So what happened was they took the environmental movement and turned it on its head and decided that the human beings are the enemy. So we are now fighting ourselves because we are our own worst enemy. Mm. And this is being promoted throughout school, throughout the media on a continual basis. Yeah. And they did this by, I believe, combining weather climate / with pollution and blamed pollution as the culprit. Therefore, we are our own enemy.
Karen, you always, it's funny. I just have to chuckle with the way you put it out there, which I call, of course, Karen is all the out loud truth, and I respect what you're saying there. Let me go right to Dr. Ron now. And Dr. Ron, in a recent, very, very fascinating column you have up at America Out Loud, is it time for a civil war? But you're mentioning civil being civil, the emphasis on that, without blood, we hope. Of course, we don't know where we're headed some days, people. But you say in that article, Ron, my worst fears were realized last week after watching the Democrats' disgusting response to POTUS Trump's magnificent State of the Union address. My blood pressure climbed as I watched puppeteer Speaker Nancy Pelosi literally directing her colleagues. Of course, all the colleagues were dressed in white straitjackets, so it was a real quite sight for the eyes here. Ron, Dr. Ron, let's pick it up there, and you hear Karen with the opening remarks. What do you think about this civil war?
Well, I think we definitely need to have a civil, underline the word civil, war. There needs to be a new revolution in America. What we've got, even on both sides, and there are good politicians on both sides, but the vast majority are not. And they have become the ruling elite, the untouchables. They have their own Social Security system, their own investment systems, their own retirement systems, their own medical systems. They create laws for us that they demand that we follow, yet they don't follow any of our laws. And they conduct themselves during these hearings as inquisitioners. And that's absolutely disgraceful, as was their response, as I wrote about in my article, to President Trump's State of the Union address. Listen, I've been around for quite some time. I've listened to presidents on both sides from both parties deliver State of the Union address. This was by far the best State of the Union address I have heard since Ronald Reagan was president of the United States. And the issue with the border has nothing to do with the border. It's about a solidification of a power base for the Democratic Party that will move them past the Republicans forever and create more of a socialist-based society full of entitlements where the people in the United States become disarmed and enslaved.
You know, Ron, it's not, it really isn't. Politics is no longer about solving the problems. It's no longer about representing we the people. It's just simply not. It's a new way of governing here. So we beat each other up. Ava, we are clearly eating our own. We talk about this a lot in this nation. Imagine the power behind this country if we would come together. Oh, my God. It never escapes me. I mean, if we could come together as a real country, as a real nation, as a real people, Ava, I mean, we would be limitless to this American exceptionalism and this beautiful experiment on this magnificent planet that we live on. But that doesn't seem to be where we're at. We've got extremists on both sides of the aisle, Ava, now. We got not just the left, we got the right and the rhinos as well, by the way.
I often tweet, I have a dream, and I will put words very similar to what you just spoke there. I think our founding fathers would be very disappointed with us right now. Our government was founded so that we could get Congress in a room together and they can compromise and talk, you know, amongst one another without name calling, without resisting. I love that word. what are they resisting, actually? They're resisting a wonderful Trump economy. They're resisting employment numbers that are just off the chart wonderful for all people of all colors and religions and backgrounds. The thing about the border, let me tell you what drives that. This is my belief system anyways.
Okay. All right.
The Republicans and the Democrats in Congress both want to keep a porous border. Mm-hmm. And why that is because we have a large agricultural system in the United States and we have many factories and small businesses that utilize illegal immigrants. And this has become very normalized. And this is the problem in our country is we are not even following immigration law that is on the books.
The border itself, like Ava says, is ridden with crime. I mean, I don't care where you come into this argument. You have to, and they know when they talk. Listen, just study their eye movement, people, or their body language, some of these far-left lunatics. And they know they're conning you. I mean, you've got drugs that are all over the place. Drugs alone are a problem that are pouring all over the border. And it's not like these guys come through a port of entry and say, hey, we're here, Joe. We're all good, man. You know, and of course you have a trailer full of drugs. It doesn't work that way. It's not how they're coming across the border. So clearly they're coming across, but the drugs are what they're seizing in Atlanta, in New York, in Minnesota. We're not talking just Texas, Arizona, and California here. We're talking the rest of this. These drugs get circulated through the nation. So if that's not enough for you, I mean, just look at the recent problems there. Then you see a lot of these bad cats. So, Dr. Ron, let's give people an insight. You study, you live not far off the border, actually, in the great state of Texas. What is the crime, the drug cartels, the terrorist activities, and we're not even talking about the economic plight, the economic conditions to all Americans. So how do the far left, how do they, and how do the Democrats defend Let's just have no borders. In fact, this Beto nut job says, let's take all the walls down. I mean, this guy's insane, Ron. Where do these people come from?
Well, you know, let's just go back, and I appreciate Ava, who's a true patriot, talking about the crime on the border. And of course, as a forensic criminologist, I study this every single day. And so let's just keep it simple, stupid, for the people out there, because the Democratic message is just one of sheer nonsense and just lies. So let's just remember that we have about 26 million illegal aliens in the United States. So they comprise about 7% of the United States' overall population. Yet in our federal prison system, 26% of all the inmates in the federal prison system are illegal aliens. The math is very easy.
Let that sink in.
Okay. Well, here's a biggie. Okay. So illegal aliens as a population in federal prison, okay, actually just illegal aliens as a population commit four times as many federal crimes as U.S. citizens do. Four times. They're only 7% of the population, but they comprise 26% of the convicted felon inmates inside the prison system. So how can you say that they don't commit a disproportionate number of crimes? Okay. And in California, so that's a federal prison system. California, that I'm very familiar with, over 40% of all the inmates in the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, the California prison system, over 40% are illegal aliens. Okay.
Right.
So, and you know, you mentioned, and of course you mentioned the drugs, the fentanyl, the cocaine, the marijuana, right. The methamphetamine that comes across the border. The fentanyl alone is a weapon of mass destruction that kills thousands and thousands of Americans every single year. Thousands every month just with the fentanyl. Let's not even talk about the heroin, the methamphetamine, the drug wars, the drug gangs, the cartels, all things that I work with in my work for the United States government. Mm-hmm. Then let's talk about Beto O'Rourke, who's a lunatic. So he's the congressman in El Paso. And as you said, living in Texas, I'm very familiar with the border. I've been to the border many, many times. So President Trump has 30,000 people inside an arena in El Paso,
right.
just this past week. Mm-hmm. Okay, there was another 35,000 outside of that. But when they had to sign up to go to the Trump rally, 50% of everyone that signed up at the Trump rally were registered Democrats. Okay, and
wow.
They had to sign up. Here's something that has not been published yet,
yeah.
Because when they signed up to attend to get a ticket, mm-hmm. they had to give their telephone number and that had to match the voting rolls. Mm-hmm. So 50% were Democrats, mm-hmm. 20% were swing voters,
yeah.
And a little over 20%, at least inside the arena, were Trump reporters, were registered Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Beto O'Rourke, he holds a competitive rally in the same town on the same evening at the same time,
right.
Got about 900 people.
So to me, it's like, are a lot of these people test driving Trump right now in the Democrat Party, I'm saying? Kind of gives you pause. I know it must give you pause, Ava, because now you see his numbers climbing up higher. Even with all this chaos, he actually is doing very well out there, which is mind-boggling when you look at the scope of this thing.
I'm finding a lot of walkaway people on Twitter,
yeah.
And I nurture a relationship with those folks because mm-hmm. I think they're very, very important
exactly.
to help spread the message.
And you do that. You do that. And I've used your words and give you credit for it when I use them. And I always say, oh, that's our friend Karen showing, the educator, the teacher. Yeah, that's her. Yeah. Well, what does she say? Well, let me tell you what she says at the end of every article. She says, is America worth saving? Now, that's an interesting question to put out there. Is America worth saving? And you ask that, Karen, to try to bring people to action. As an educator, as a teacher, as a retired teacher, an educator, somebody who's dealt with the system there, a lot of these problems that we're dealing with, these socialist people, and where it's all out of the closet now, they're just talking about it in full daylight now. It used to be hidden. The Communist Party of America was a hidden thing. You never really talked about it. You knew it was there, Karen, but you never really talked about it. Now this thing is in full broad daylight. Everything's out of the closet now, Karen. Bring your laundry out. It's all here. But this is all being taught in the schools. And that's really, you always bring it back to the educators. Isn't that the problem? Is these kids are being raised now. They actually like socialism. They're actually talking about socialism. They actually want socialism, Karen.
Well, I agree with you. And for that reason, I truly believe that we do not have a two-party system in America anymore. We have a one-party system, and it's called the globalist versus the Americans. And the globalists have taken over both parties. Their goal is to segregate Americans into small groups, separate them, create them as victims, and then have them fight each other. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're doing. Their goal is, and they tell you over and over again, a one-world government.
The globalists have taken over both parties. Think about that a minute, people. Now, that's Karen's a practical, she's a practical gal. I mean, this is an American woman. She's a patriot. She's a teacher. She's an educator. Somebody who's seen it all. Just teach the kids. Knows what's going on. The globalists have hijacked both parties. So she's not saying to me, well, this is a far left problem, Malcolm. It's just the Democrat. No, it's not just the Democrat Party, people. Get the wax out of your ears, will you? It's far more than that. I've been telling you this for months and months and years now. It's far more than that. Even some of my own people on the platform and our people look at me sometimes cross-eyed and say, what are you talking about? Well, you just heard her say, yeah, that's what we're talking about here. Stay right there, friends. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, friends, we're back on Viewpoint here. Welcome on, please, again here. Dr. Ron Martinelli is here. Ava Armstrong, Karen Schoen is our panel discussion here as we take on. We started with the new Civil War and that interesting column article that Dr. Ron Martinelli has up on the platform there. You want to check that out. There's a lot of interest in, and again, you got to go read the new one that Karen Schoen has up there about the Green New Deal. She's got hers is a really different take on it, though. You'll enjoy the read because she doesn't mince her words. She's not like one of these other phony balonies, you know. I mean, she gives you a dose of the out loud truth in there, man. So go read Karen's as well. You'll get a lot out of that. Now, in this next one, friends, I want to talk about how and who is dividing our country, what the game plan and what the end result is of this. I mean, listen, I mean, again, the symptoms of division here are, and how they manifest themselves, I guess, in this whole dysfunctionality of our government. And let's face it, people, government is dysfunctional. I mean, no matter, again, where you fall, it's dysfunctional. I mean, the failure to pass budgets, and now the president is put in a position again where he's got to sign a budget he doesn't want to sign, but they've got his hand right on there. They got his hand on the hot fire, basically. You know, again, unless he's not a king, he's not a dictator, he can't rule here. He's got to stay within the confines of this republic. This is what we have here. This is what the framers envisioned. Now, the framers also must have seen some of this coming. Ava, let's start with you on this here. Now, the framers had to realize, I mean, think about everything that's put into place now. And because we're having some strange conversations these days, okay, about all this division in the country. I mean, weird, weird stuff. And but they had to envision some of this. How healthy is some of this, or how divisive is some of this to the nation, Ava?
Well, we've reached a very dangerous point. Founding fathers have always, you know, explained to us in all the documents that the government works for the people. It's we, the people, who are in charge. So it has flipped. The power is now in Washington amongst the Congress. They're trying to even take down the president, which is really eye-opening. But we have to realize and recognize the fact that we do have the power of the ballot box. So somebody is voting for these Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's and, you know, Ocasio, whatever.
So who are they? Who are they that's voting, Ava? Who are
That's really scary to me. that's frightening to think that somebody could vote for Nancy Pelosi. And she's been there, what, since 1981, I believe?
Or Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, this AOC lunatic here.
I mean, right.
Or the other one, Omar, out of this other one with her racist remarks and, anti-Israel.
We the people are really going to be the cure for this disease. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
We had a president for 8 years, Barack Hussein Obama. Didn't he do us dirty, huh? Well, you know what? He had an education czar, okay? He had a czar for Sharia law.
Yeah, you remember
I can't
that.
Even say it.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had a czar for everything.
He was right up front about it.
He had a czar.
He was doing this country. He wanted to turn this country into a communist.
There were a lot of people planted in all forms of government over those 8 years, Ava. You know,
I mean, so right now we're reaping what we've sown Obama. And I'm putting this squarely where it belongs on the voters. We the people have the power to take these guys out, but we have to exercise our votes at the ballot box. We have to bring our neighbors and friends and mothers and fathers and everybody with us.
The question is there more of that than there is this other stuff? These people, Karen, that have been indoctrinated back to, again, the educational system. Karen, how do we take the education system back? Plain out straight question. How do we take it back?
Well, we are doing it in Florida, and it only comes in with, as was just said, it's the people. We have to be vigilant. We're the ones that have to be able to go and counteract all of their demands, lies, falsehoods, whatever. And we have to be able to do it in a way that they will understand what we're saying, because right now that's not what they're taught. What they believe is, and I'd like to read something, because most of what globalists do comes right out of the United Nations. And this is what our children are being taught. Okay. The common enemy of humanity is man. In search for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fill the bill. All of these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. And this was from the United Nations think tank, the Club of Rome. Now, think about that. If I am being taught that anybody that pollutes is the enemy, then anything you do after that doesn't matter, because what are you doing in the hugest magnitude? You're destroying the planet. So therefore, if you use a plastic straw, you are to be hated. And this is what our kids are being taught. So the minute you have that hate put in there, the rest of the conversation is moot. It doesn't make any difference, because I hate you because you're polluting the planet. So you can't get past the second conversation. What else are they being taught? They're being taught that we have to depopulate the planet. So if people die by drugs, or they die by whatever, or killed or whatever, it doesn't matter, because there's too many people anyway.
Karen, let me ask Dr. Ron. Ron, do you think the ultimate goal, because I hear that quite a bit from folks, do you think there's something to this? When I talk about culling the population, is there truth to that, do you think?
what the truth to that is, I think it's much more simple than this. This is about, again, a solidification of power. This is about getting the people across the border and getting them amnesty and creating voting rights for them. Because if that happens, the Republican Party and the Republic of the United States is done as we know it. That's what this is all about. That's why there's all this denial. No, there's not a crisis at the border. No, there's not a crisis here. Geez, we're xenophobes. We're picking on everybody. But if you look, the demographics of the United States are changing. Okay? They're changing. And, you know, for instance, Ava was talking about the Republicans joining with the Democrats regarding bringing illegal aliens across the border because we need them to work in agriculture. Okay, well, I've been a rancher pretty much all my life, and I go back to the times of the 60s and the 50s when my parents had ranches, and we used a program which was an extremely successful program called the Bracero program, and we would bring Mexican nationals across the border. They had visas, they had work visas, and they would work 3 months at a time, and then they would go back to Mexico, and they would go 3 months at a time and go back to Mexico. We had housing for them, and they didn't get any entitlements within the United States. They couldn't bring their families across, couldn't bring their children across. There was no education, medical care, or anything like that. That was an extremely successful program that could be run today because, you know, the United States has always been the pressure relief valve for Mexico because they're so unstable. You know, they're not a first world country, they're a second world country, but they're coming along. Right. So all of this is simply to bring people across the border. They don't care about the crime, they don't care about the deaths. And when you see the demographics changing, where now we're getting socialists in here, we're getting anti-Semite Muslims in Congress, believe me, this is all by design.
Okay.
And the Rhino Republicans won't stop it. And the other Republicans don't have the guts to stop it.
So, Ron, so if that's the case, let me draw something out to you, please. All right. If we've got all, I think everybody on this call here would agree that the media is part of this agenda, the media outlets, all of them, all the networks, all the media outlets. I mean, their far left agenda is very clear. They hide everything, like you mentioned the rallies earlier on, with the way they hid the Beta rally versus the Trump rally, and they just make it a game. But now I often wonder, what's the outcome that they want? What kind of outcome? So I question, do they really want a socialist America, or do they know what the rules of engagement are here? So when you think of all the media outlets, right, then you think of all the social media outlets, the Googles, the Amazons, again, the Twitters, the Facebooks, all of these large technology-driven organizations who also have an agenda, who are messing with us every single day. And you tie them, so you got them on one area, then you got all the media outlets in another, then you've got all these other organizations that are behind this big push for really a radical program of socialism that they're really talking about. And they don't want borders, and they don't want this, and they don't want that, and they just want this other kind of America that none of us really see. Yeah.
They're not interested in America because America is an anomaly whereby people can actually accumulate wealth. They don't want that. They don't want people to be able to accumulate anything except what the government gives them.
They no longer teach schools, no longer teach civics in the United States, which is an explanation of how our government works and the rule of law and law enforcement as the protectors and enforcers of the rule of law. They teach revisionist history, nothing that has anything to do with what real history is about. Okay. They allow George Soros, who is a two-time convicted felon from Hungary and France, and who is a currency manipulator, to come in and pull the puppet strings with his different secret organizations, both open and closed, to manipulate people like Clinton and Black Lives Matter and all these different radical groups.
Obama's working with them too.
Exactly. And then the media is complicit. And what the media forgets, because when you don't have history, when you don't have physics or civics, and you don't understand socialism, the media forgets what happens to them as soon as a socialist or communist government comes in. They're gone. So the irony is the very people that were complicit in creating a new world society in the United States, they're gone because there is no freedom of speech once a socialistic government or a communistic government
Amen
comes in.
Amen to that. So, Ron, if that's all true, what you're saying there, so then I'm thinking, okay, so what do these people really want? And then Karen says, well, they're globalists. They don't really want an America. Okay, if that's all true, then obviously they don't belong here. And I'm assuming those people are in the minority of the nation. They're not the majority, God willing, or we're really screwed. And then the next thing is, but then you see all these big corporations and these big technology companies and the media outlets. I can't believe they're all thinking that America sucks as well. So then I wonder, well, do they think that maybe if they get into power and create this other illusion that maybe they can fix all of this? Because listen, I got to think they got to love America. And if they really love America or think America's worth saving, then maybe they just think once they have the power, because as you all know, it's always about power. It's greed and power, money. I mean, so maybe when they get it back, they think they can fix it or they create their new world. Ava, what do you think about that?
The only firewall we have right now between America becoming a total full-blown socialist communist country is Donald Trump and the Freedom Caucus. And people better understand that.
Karen?
Okay, I believe America is worth saving, but if we don't get what our students are being taught, it won't be saved. Donald Trump is doing a stellar job, but what happens in 6 years when he's gone? And if we don't fix our educational system, in 6 years we'll be having the same but worse conversation. So it's a part and parcel. Also, follow the money. Who owns the media? The tech companies. So what are they feeding us? The same garbage over and over again, both parties. And it's not going to change unless we, the people, change it. And I believe that the easiest change is the education, because that's local and it's the closest thing to us that we can actually touch.
And Karen, I'll say this. We're going to continue to follow your lead there. I'm so pleased you're with us on the platform. And we're going to continue to follow some of your ideas, thoughts, and lead as an educator, retired teacher, and with your experience and background. Dr. Ron?
Well, I think the Republicans have to play hardball with the Democrats. They're not willing to yield. But I think the key is every time you see a survey, there's 20 to 24% of the American population who's disengaged. I think we have to capture the disengaged people and bring them over to a more conservative way of looking at America, or Amen. Else we're going to lose America.
Amen, buddy. Amen to that. Amen to all of you there. I got to tell you, such great patriots here. Karen Schoen, Dr. Ron Martinelli, Ava Armstrong. All right, friends. So we hear the conversation here. We ask you about, is America worth saving? We know the answer to that. It's a rhetorical question. You can't rely on any one political party, friends. You can only rely on we the people. That's the takeaway today. You hear it from Ava, you hear it from Karen, you hear it from Ron. It's we the people. That's what you got to rely on. So it's up to you. It's up to you out there to get off the sofa, get off and do something about it. Get out there and let your voice be heard and kind of spread the out loud truth out there. We're doing our part here. We hope you're doing your part there, friends. Thank you, as always, for joining us here on the journey. Of course, you can always email us at talk@americaoutloud.com. We love to engage with you. We're happy you're here. And remember, the out loud truth continues back at americaoutloud.com.